I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 42 to 47 and focus especially on the four ways that are mentioned there about the ways in which the Christian believers devoted themselves. As we also think about the Heidelberg Catechism today and our response to the word that's found there and our confession that includes an understanding of the communion of the saints, and looking at question 55, which is on page 28 in the back of their hymnal. We're going to read that answer together in just a moment. First of all, we're going to look to the word of the Lord and turn to Acts chapter 2 and read verses 42 to 47. And here's what God's word says to us there in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. As we've put our attention on the word, let's take a moment to respond to it with a confession of what we understand by the communion of the saints. It's found on question 55 in the Heidelberg Catechism. Would you answer that question with me, please? What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that believers, one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it his duty to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. We're thankful to the Lord that we could pray a few moments ago that his word might be a blessing to us today. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I suppose that if our boys and girls were to be asked, do you want some of the gifts that mom and dad have for your birthday, or do you want all of them? That might seem like a pretty silly question to the boys and girls. Of course they want all of them. Truck them out. Let's not leave anything behind. If you bought me all gifts that you wanted to give me, don't just give me some. I want them all. You know, if mom and dad are going to give me gifts, why wouldn't I want them all? And not just some, right? It's tempting, however, to want just the gifts, some of the gifts of the Lord Jesus, though. Eternal life, salvation, the Father's care, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Those are quite the gifts. Perfect gifts. How can you go wrong when you think about how God does these things for you so perfectly and provides them so powerfully? How can you go wrong with what God does and with what God gives and what Christ has provided? And when the Spirit's at work in you. And yet part of the gifts that complete the gifts, the package that the Lord gives, is the communion of the saints. God's gifts of grace include the products of his grace found in his people who comprise the Church of Jesus Christ, the communion of the saints. And we're tempted to downplay those gifts. Because unlike God, those gifts are imperfect people. And yet, as members of Christ, as believers, as products of God's grace, we are inevitably connected to Christ and to his body. If we're going to call ourselves members of Christ, well, we're connected to the head. And we're connected to the body. And that's just the way it is. And instead of looking at that double connection with a bit of regret or reluctance, we're to see that both connections are good gifts from God in Jesus Christ. As members of this community, we share in Christ and in all his treasures and gifts. God doesn't shortchange us when we've known the grace of God. We need to remember that daily. Sometimes we can live like it's just the opposite. We're complaining and we're muttering and we're dissatisfied and we find ourselves wishing things were more the way we want them. And yet God doesn't shortchange us when we've known his grace. And nor should we view the communion of the saints as if God simply went overboard by giving us a dozen pair of socks when we would have been happy with just the cash. Now, it's nice to have all those, but I could do without them. Receiving eternal life in Christ is precious, but so is belonging and participating in the communion of the saints. Because God gave us that too. No other communion can match its value, because in no other communion can we share in Christ and all his treasures and gifts. The communion of saints is a blessed two-sided coin. We all share in God's good gifts there, but we also share God's good gifts to others there. And we should rejoice for what that communion provides us, but also what we can provide for it. We think about how God has gifted us through Jesus Christ. We don't have a whole lot of time this morning to dwell on this subject. I could spend a lot of time on it, especially given the fact that we just heard somebody who just joined it and we're about to enter into the communion supper. And if I think about all the ways in which this place has been a blessing to me and my family as a communion of the saints. But it's certainly a subject that's getting covered anyway, isn't it? It's getting covered through the fact that there's someone here who, by the grace of God, wants to join it and has. And as we also partake of communion this morning, which reminds us and assures us not only of our saving connection with Jesus Christ, but also the fact that we have a beneficial communion with all of God's people in Christ because we all partake of the one loaf. So let's touch on a few matters on both sides of that blessed coin of communion this morning, given by God's grace. We often in the past have sung the song here, how vast the benefits divine which we in Christ possess. And it includes, of course, those things that are mentioned in the song. We've been redeemed from sin and shame and called to holiness and that by the grace of God accomplished in Christ, applied by the Holy Spirit. Those gifts are what the communion of saints especially hold in common, a grace that's anything but common. It's amazing. Any communion that has nothing in common is no communion at all. Because the very nature of the word and experience is that word communion is that of a union. It's what we hold in common. One needs to have a common denominator in order for there to be a league, an association, a union, a common bond. The communion of the saints has that bond and a bond that's greater than any other. It is, after all, a sanctified bond. It's a special bond that way. It's not comprised of perfect people, but of redeemed people, of reconciled people, of regenerated people, of justified people, of saints that way. Not because they're elite Christians, not because they have this second blessing in their lives that makes us wish, oh, couldn't we be like them? Now, these are people who, no matter their station or their place or their gender or their age or their vocation, are people who share the greatest treasures and gifts of all, the gifts of Christ. And what they can say about themselves is not because of themselves. And it makes a difference in the way they approach things. They can say what they can say about themselves because of the grace of God, and they can say it with others who have known the very same experience in their own lives. They're no longer condemned, they're justified. They're no longer slaves, they're children of God. They're no longer old creations, but new ones. They're no longer dead in their sins and trespasses, but alive in Christ. They're no longer alienated from God, without God, or without hope in the world, but they have been brought near to God through the Prince of Peace and the regenerating work of the Spirit of God. And there's no reason to boast, and there's no reason to be proud, and there's no reason to be arrogant. These are those who no longer live, but Christ lives in them. And they know the care of the Father, and they know the intercession of the Son, and they know the presence of the Spirit, just to name a few, and it has to be a few, even though the benefits are vast, because we just don't have that much time to name them all. We can talk about treasures, we can talk about fortunes, we can talk about riches beyond compare, we might say, but the benefits divine which we in Christ possess are vast. And yet they don't end with the obvious gifts of salvation and providence and presence and provision and position and glory that come from the gracious hands of God, but they include the provision of His Word, the fellowship of believers, partaking of communion, of the sacraments, the gift of prayer, all of which are mentioned in Acts chapter 2. All of which are mentioned in the context of the communion of the saints, the communion of the church of Jesus Christ. In fact, they're mentioned not in the sense that someone just got a lifetime supply of socks or a lifetime supply of spatulas. Well, isn't that nice, but I really don't need them. But rather is that which has been given to us is something most precious to the point of devotion. They devoted themselves to these things. Devoted themselves. They were devoted to the apostolic word. They were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread, And they were devoted to prayer. All these gifts were those to which the fellowship took full advantage. It was more than a chest full of socks. Whether it was the proclamation of the word, they took advantage of hearing it. Knowing the blessing of being in communion with one another as benefactors or beneficiaries, they enjoyed it. Whether it was partaking of the sacraments, including the Lord's Supper like we do today, they saw the usefulness of it. Whether it was knowing the value of prayer, whether it was in the prayers they offered for others or that other people offered for them. We need to see the value of the ministry of the Word in our lives. We need to see the value of having others looking after us and not just ourselves looking after ourselves. Oh, I don't need anybody else. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. You need each other. People need you, and you're needed by others. We need to see the value of partaking of the sacraments for our own edification, especially when Christ has called us to that. We need to know the blessing of those who love us so that they're willing to pray for us and the needs that we have, because these two are gifts that the Lord provides us, better than socks, better than spatulas, but also better than so many other events and things and communions that we might otherwise put in front of it. Better than what can be supplied otherwise, because this communion is supplied by God in Christ, this communion of the saints. And yet we also have a calling not only to appreciate what's received, but the ability to be givers as well. And we make that confession, don't we, that each member should consider it his duty to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. When we've known the gracious hand of God in Christ, when we've been recipients of his redemption, but also recipients of the gifts of Christian communion, it follows that we should see our calling not only to receive those gifts, but be givers of the very gifts that Christ has provided for us for the sake of the communion of the saints. Sometimes people give us gifts just for our enjoyment. They say, look, that's just for you, and you just enjoy that. That would give me great pleasure if you would just take that gift and use it for yourself. And that's nice. But that's not the case with the gifts that Jesus Christ gives us. He doesn't say to you, these gifts are just for your enjoyment. We're permitted to re-gift the gifts that we've received from Christ. In fact, he expects it from us. We're not meant to be a people who simply are beneficiaries of the gifts of Christian communion, but we are to see ourselves as benefactors ourselves. The communion of the saints is not meant to be a one-way street. In fact, it's tempting to think that it is, very tempting to think that it is. If the communion of the saints is not providing what I think it should be providing, then I'm not going to provide either. Or I'm only here for what the communion will give me. That's why I'm here. It's kind of a cafeteria style of Christian fellowship. Ever have that? I don't know if you boys and girls ever did this. I remember when we first came here, we did this once in a while. We'd go to Old Country Buffet. I think it's on 41 and Main or something like that, and Highland. We'd go there on occasion, just for fun. And it's interesting, whenever we went there, we never took a dish with us. You know, we didn't look at it and say, well, you know what? We should probably bring a dessert or maybe a salad. You know, if you ever go to a cafe or a cafeteria, the owner doesn't expect you to bring a hot dish. Is there anything I could bring, Old Country Buffet? No, you don't bring anything there. People would think you're pretty weird if you went up to the trays of food and you put your own dessert on the dessert tray. There, now I feel like I've given to the cause. Oh, here's a special mac and cheese entree I've made. I'm going to put that right there. Enjoy. Because you're not there to give. You're there to receive. And that's how the church can be viewed a lot of times. I'm here to receive and not to give. I'm here to have the church supply me a service, and if I don't get that service, I'm going to go somewhere else to find it. Well, wherever you go, it's not just your calling to benefit from the communion of the saints, but to contribute to it. In fact, it can be easily argued that this contributing is the primary calling of those who are members of Christ and members of his body. They're there to do their part. That's the mentality. They're there to do their part. To love. To imitate their Savior. To outdo others in showing honor. To be servants. To be generous. To lead if need be. To be merciful. To be cheerful. To teach. To pray. To sympathize, to forgive, to seek forgiveness, to use your gifts readily and cheerfully, for the benefit of others. Part of the reason for that, of course, is that the church needs you as much as you need the church. And while we all have the basic gifts of Christ in common, we don't all have the same talents. And in that way, we're not all the same. And God uses that well. We're not all eyes or feet or hands. A body with nothing but ears is not only grotesque, it's virtually useless. Now, some of the gifts we have are the same, like love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And we're called to such services one to another. But we also get the privilege to help and to serve and to share in the special ways that the Lord has called us to serve in the fellowship of believers. In ways that, you know, maybe somebody else can't do. Readily, cheerfully, humbly too, of course. Because just because you have a gift that another doesn't carry and can't carry out like you can't, carry out that gift with humility, please. It's a gift, after all, that you have. With no reason to boast or to act like a snob. Oh, if you were only like me, then wouldn't this communion be the best? No, share your gift in humble service. Not like you're somebody. And isn't it a shame that everyone isn't just like you? The Christian confession doesn't ignore the communion of the saints. Nor should we. If we understand what it means to be a member of Christ, connected to Him and His people, we will not act in ignorance. It's not a perfect communion, but it's a product of the grace of God. It's a product of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it should be valued and appreciated that way. Be glad when you're part of it. Be glad for the times it was a blessing for you. And be glad when you can be a blessing for her. That's how I view Oak Glen URC. Glad for the blessing it was for me. And glad when I could be a blessing for her. And I pray that I was. And I pray that you'll view the communion of the saints that way as well. Because you rejoice in what God's given to you in Christ. As you share in all the treasures and gifts that God has given you in Christ. And as you share what He has given you with the communion of the saints. Amen.